What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Hoops Corner. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got the Iceman himself, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Feeling cool. Unlike the Raptors, who are super hot right now.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. We know how you feel about these Raptors. The banger in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
You know what? I'm excited to talk about a big part about basketball that isn't on the court, but a lot of the style off of it, so...
That's a nice way to put it. And our special guest of, I guess I'm going to call you a star, man. YouTube stardom, Instagram stardom, Sean Goh, the sneakerhead himself. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I just wanted to get you on because, you know, Raj already alluded to it. Sneakers, you know, the whole lifestyle is like a big part of the NBA, right? And obviously we know the GOAT himself, Jordan, started it all back in like the 80s. So, you know, I wanted to get your expert opinion on this kind of stuff. So, you know, why don't you tell us about yourself? You know, how you got into sneakers, how this whole like journey began for you, all that kind of jazz.
Yeah. So it all started because of basketball, which is fitting for being on this podcast. Like I grew up, technically born in the late 80s, but I was fortunate enough to capture Michael Jordan's second three-peat. So I watched that pretty religiously. And, you know, Michael Jordan was the guy. Everyone wanted to be like him. And wearing his shoes was like, I guess, one of the easiest way you can be like him if you don't have the game to back it up. So yeah, obviously, like I idolized him and always wanted his shoes and always studied like what he would be wearing. So the first pair of shoes I ever got was the first pair I ever got was the original Air Jordan 12. So he wore that back in the 97 season. Mm-hmm. So I got the playoff 12s, wore that for my elementary school basketball tournament. And then since then, it's always been...
Did you play well?
Nah, man, I was terrible. I actually broke them out for the first time for that tournament and they were stiff as heck.
Ooh, so that's a bad idea.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad idea.
Especially in elementary school too, yeah. Man. That must have tore up your feet real nice.
Yeah, I got some blisters on it. But but since then, I've always been interested in shoes. When I started working in part-time back in like late high school, early university, that's when I started really buying sneakers like this. And then the rest is kind of in history. The whole social media aspect of it has taken it to another level, as you guys probably know. But at the end of the day, like I just love sneakers, basketball, and I think that the two kind of go together perfectly.
So how did like Instagram and YouTube really start for you? Was it a way to show off your kicks or just a way to meet other people into sneakers? Like, where did it start and how has it grown?
So I've always been a photographer, I guess you can say. So even back in high school, I would be the guy taking pictures at parties and stuff like that and posting all the stuff on Friendster, if you guys remember that, and then Facebook and stuff. And then, so I like photography, I like shoes. And for me, like I always try to wear as many shoes as I can. Like I don't like to leave them brand new. So I would take pictures of my shoes when they were brand new so I could always remember how they looked like when they were in brand new condition. So that's really how it started. And then eventually it kind of evolved into more of a, I guess, creative outlet. Instead of just snapping a brand new shoe on a white wall, it'd be finding cool locations to take pictures of my shoes. So this was even before the whole social media aspect was a thing. So I joined Instagram in 2011 or 12 or so. Created my account, not even thinking anything of it. It was just a mix of iPhone snaps and, you know, just whatever.
Yeah. Like
me on a subway or what, this is what I ate today. And I just eventually just realized the power of social media. The pictures I would post of my shoes would get a ton of likes and people would follow me for them and I'd get a lot of comments. And then I guess long story short, I just built up a decent sized following. And then eventually I just shifted my account from a personal account to just being solely focused on sneakers.
Did you ever wear your like sneakers to clubs and shit like that?
Nah, man. No.
Like, did you ever take that risk?
I don't think so. Like I would at best maybe like Chucks.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't ever wear like Jordans or anything like
can't risk that the spillage. Yeah. Right?
I don't even think they'll let you in, right?
That's true.
Yeah, probably not. I think you're probably right. Maybe at like bars.
That's true.
you know, like that, like basic ass bars, but yeah, probably not a club.
I can't confirm that as well.
Yeah, we once took Josh to a club and this guy rolled up in like his basketball shoes.
And they let him in?
No. we like tried to pay off the bouncer. We brought it, like, we stuck him in with a girl, still didn't work.
Oh,
we eventually had to like go to someone's car, switch out his shoes, give him a tighter shirt, you know. Had to do the full wardrobe change in somebody's trunk.
Oh, those are true friends, man. Letting the guy
Yo, man, it was like cold Ottawa days. Yeah, we got you in at least.
It worked out.
Yeah, no kidding. So how, like, I don't know if this is something you talk about, but do you talk about like how big your collection is, or?
I mean, yeah? The honest truth is I've stopped counting after I hit a certain level.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, maybe like 350 pairs.
Yeah. If I had it's to like guess, one, I don't know. One a day for a good year.
Yeah, I could be off though, but yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, give or take. And I'm guessing like it's not all in the condo, right? Like I'm sure you got them in storage or something too.
Yeah, like I live in a pretty, like, it's not a small condo, but I mean, I have a wife. She wants her space. So I spread out the pairs all around.
Yeah. What's that like grail for you? Like, you know how every like sneakerhead always has that like one shoe that they can never get their hands on, or you know what I mean?
Is that your definition of grail?
That's what I always thought. You know, like I always thought it was like that one shoe that you either couldn't get your hands on, or that like that be all end all, you know, that like with that one favorite that you always had like as a kid or growing up, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I always imagined, at least.
Because like my definition of grail is like, it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's unobtainable. Mm. So for me, it's the Air Jordan 3 white cements.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that's my favorite pair of shoes ever. Like if I had to only pick one pair of shoes, that would be the one.
Yeah.
But I own that pair. So
yeah, that's, I mean, fair.
If we're talking about something that's unobtainable, then it'd be something like the Pigeon Dunk.
Mm.
Pigeon, yeah. SBs.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. I guess it depends on like how you want to look at it, right?
Right, right, right.
You're a big threes guy, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Threes are my favorite silhouette, I'd say.
Oh, okay. Makes sense then.
So what type of shoes do you like to play in, like indoors versus outdoors? Do you play in like random Nikes outdoors? You don't like wreck your shoes, or how does that work out for you?
I honestly haven't played outdoors in, I don't even remember, like probably since like high school.
Damn.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. Like I've shot around, but nothing that would like destroy the shoe. Yeah.
You're much smarter than us.
Preserving those knees, man.
Yeah, and the shoes are probably a lot nicer than ours.
But I mean, if COVID keeps continuing, and like, who knows, right? I might have to start playing outside if they let us.
Did you pick up? You didn't pick up a ball during COVID, or did you play inside anywhere?
No, like I shot around.
Yeah,
but not like an actual
shit
5-on-5 full court kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Damn. So, what do you rock inside then? Like, what are your go-to indoor?
Right things? Now, I still wear the Kyrie 2.
Oh
yeah, like okay, it's one of my favorite shoes, so I bought like a ton of pairs just to stash away.
So in like 20 years from now you're still rocking the Kyrie 2s.
Yeah, if they don't crumble on me. But yeah, it's my go-to right now.
Respect. I still rock Kyrie 3s and they're like a solid shoe.
Yeah,
like,
man,
good functionality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking about Kyrie's, which player do you think has the best kicks to you, like aesthetically and functionally?
Oh, gotta go PJ Tucker. This guy's a beast.
His collection, or like his he doesn't have a shoe though, but like his,
talking about like a signature, like a signature.
Yeah, exactly.
For right now?
Yeah, or all time. Like, who had the best shoe aesthetically or functionally?
I gotta go, oof.
Besides
tough,
Jordan,
man. That's
obviously
tough. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, Jordan has that legacy, but on the court, I gotta give it a Kobe. Kobe 5. I think that might be like the GOAT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basketball shoe.
Yeah. LeBron, like, do you think LeBron's will ever get to that level of popularity that the Kobe's are at?
It's just a lot harder to pull off LeBron's, and they're really bulky and a lot heavier than Kobe's.
Yeah.
Whereas Kobe's, yeah, I think you can pull off on the court and off the court a bit easier.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Like, once LeBron retires, I feel like there's going to be a huge shift in narrative. Like, everyone's going to start loving LeBron, and
things change once someone retires, right? Or like, you can't get them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if like, I hate to say this, but I wonder if Kobe's death also added to like the popularity of his,
oh man, 100%, right? Definitely.
Because as soon as it happened, like every retailer just sold out instantly.
Yeah.
So I mean, I was actually I was in Orlando when like when the helicopter crash happened, and I was actually at an outlet mall.
Wait, you were in Orlando? I was in Orlando.
Yeah. I was at the outlet mall in Orlando. I still remember seeing like Raj texted me, and I was like, "Yo, get out of here! I don't believe this." We were like having lunch in a food court.
I was at Magic Kingdom, Disney World.
Oh shit!
Like we were watching a parade, and then I checked my phone, and I'm like, "What?" TMZ like tweeted something.
I didn't believe it. I had to wait for like the ESPN confirmation or somebody, right? But yeah, like I remember going to Nike like to just see what was available, and they already pulled all the stock.
Wow.
So like I think within like half an hour or an hour, they were just told to like pull all of the Kobe gear from the shelves just so they could do whatever they want with it. So like Nike was on it fast. Man, these guys don't mess around. But I don't know, like who do you think has the best kicks in the game now then? Like obviously we talked about PJ Tucker. He's sort of like the GOAT of all the guys, right? But like, you know, there are other guys like Kuzma's obviously got like a crazy game. Mike Conley obviously has his style. I don't know, are there other guys that like capture your eye or like you gotta look at whenever you see?
Honestly, I don't even follow like league fits too closely. Like I'll see it on Instagram when someone busts out like a crazy like a Yeezy or something to play ball in, but generally speaking, like I don't follow it too closely to say. Yeah.
Have you ever tried? Okay, I talk about this with one of my boys all the time. Have you ever tried hooping in Air Max 90s?
I don't think no, man. I think the craziest pair I've worn to ball in probably, actually, it sounds even crazier now, but I wore like a Nike Roshi. Not to play, it wasn't like a competitive ten, like 5-on-5, but maybe just like a 2-on-2, just goofing around thing.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible idea.
Damn, I'm guessing it didn't last very long.
I think the game stopped pretty fast because I didn't want to break my ankles.
Yeah, no kidding. Tabo Savalosha like plays in Air Max 90s.
Every night?
Yeah, like this dude like every night just hoops in Air Max 90s.
What the heck?
Like that's a thing. How crazy is that?
That's why he's not in the league anymore.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the NYPD breaking his arm or whatever it was. Or his ankle, I guess. It's partially the shoes, partially the NYPD, you know?
Most of the shoes.
Yeah, man, that's like, yeah, that's why you're here. I just wanted to talk like sneakers with you, but I don't know. Let's get into some All-Star talk, because last week, you know, the NBA is pretty set on getting this All-Star game going, even like mid-pandemic. Obviously, we understand what it's about, right, guys? Like, we're in it for the money here. Obviously, the players like LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi, and, you know, subtly De'Aaron Fox already came out and said they don't want the game, that, like, why should they be playing if it's during pandemic? You already have all these health and safety protocols going on, and yet you're still going to bring, like, the 25 best players into one place in Atlanta that's been open this whole time just so they can play a game. You know, so, I don't know, Josh, do you think it's actually going to go ahead with guys like this saying that they don't want to play? Because I could see it going either way at this point.
I really don't think the players union would go ahead with this and give the okay. And, you know, Woj being able to tweet out something like this early without LeBron's go ahead. So I feel like LeBron's playing both sides here. I think behind the scenes, he's totally fine with everything because it's going to get the player, you know, the players paid. It's going to increase their overall, you know, money value overall for the entire year in terms of like how much they get paid overall throughout the rest of the regular season, I think. And, you know, if the game isn't played, they're going to obviously lose, I don't know, like a big, you know, portion of the TV contract. So I think behind the scenes, he's totally okay with it. A lot of these players will be totally fine with it, especially the guys that are going to be there for the first time. So I think the game will go ahead. And I think there probably will be issues coming out of that, you know, after everything's said and done.
What do you mean issues? You think there's going to be a couple of Magic City run-ins here?
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable that there's going to be contact tracing. Somebody's, you know, inevitably going to be in the health and safety protocol after that week. And I think they get 2 weeks off overall. And I think that they're going to be there for at least, what, 3 to 5 days, you would think. So hopefully everyone's okay by the time it starts up again. But, you know, I'm not very hopeful based on what you said about Atlanta I'm sure that lady and her, you know, massive husband who looks like Vince McMahon are going to be in the first row again of the game. So,
Daddy Carlos, man. Show the man some respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be like, it's going to be weird. Like, Sean, do you remember when Toronto hosted the All-Star game like a couple of years ago?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Remember how hype it was around the city?
But it was like the coldest weekend I've ever felt in Toronto in my life. But yeah, super hyped.
Yeah. It was like minus 40 outside, but still, you can still, like, you still remember all the people around.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's crazy. City was like buzzing. Never seen it like that.
Yeah. And fuck, imagine that in Atlanta. Where it's like 30 degrees during the winter, you know, open season, no masks on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you like, how do you feel about it? Do you think they're going to go ahead?
I think it'll happen. There's just too much for the NBA to gain from it. Yeah. I mean, the fact that you're already running a 72 game schedule or whatever, and it's, you're flying all over the country and that's already happening. I think it's pretty inevitable that the All-Star game is going to happen too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these players, I don't know how much of it is them just kind of posturing for like PR sake versus actually having like the balls to like not come through if they're picked as an All-Star.
Yeah.
So yeah. I can't really see it not happening unless there's a major breakout leading up to it or something.
Unless Adam Silver somehow comes down with COVID himself.
And like they're doing like a lot of strict testing too. So I mean, if you, I don't know.
Yeah.
You guys, like the testing's pretty stringent, right?
Yeah, Raj is our medical expert, so.
Yeah. Again, I don't know specifically about the NBA protocol, but I think overall, like the league has a huge incentive, like we talked about money-wise. And at the end of the day, there's going to be 14, 15 players being selected from each conference. And even if it's not the top guys, there might be a few situations where maybe some of those players, maybe a LeBron James or a Kevin Durant will be like, you know what, I'm going to take these 2 weeks off to really rest my body. I don't want to potentially get COVID. I'm going to sit this one out. And it's just going to give a chance to the Julius Randles of the world and the Jeremy Grants that get an All-Star bid. But I think the game's going to go on, and I think some of the top players are just a bit pissed off because they're not allowed to go watch a basketball game with their teammate outside of NBA time or watch a football game or the Super Bowl. But now they're asked to congregate from different team members and have a few practices and do all this media work, and it kind of goes against the rules. So the idea is silly, but it's going to happen.
I think the only way it doesn't happen is if guys like LeBron and Kevin Durant say way ahead of time, we're not going to play in this game. Then they might have to rethink things and then maybe shut things down, let these guys rest for a couple weeks. Outside of that, I can't really see them canceling the game. And usually this weekend is for, you know, the players to get together, go to these parties, you know, Kenny Smith's party that he always announces on TNT. But I don't know. I don't see those types of things happening. I mean, I'm sure they're going to happen behind the scenes, like in a smaller scale, which is why you worry about these players going back to their home arenas afterwards and, you know, possibly get in a situation where they're in the health and safety protocol. But hopefully everything works out for the best. You know, it's going to be one night, right? I think it's supposed to be like the dunk contest, the 3-point contest, and the All-Star game the same night.
Oh, really? They're doing all that in one night?
Yeah.
It hasn't been confirmed yet, but that's what's been reported.
So what, would you start the 3-point contest at like 4 in the afternoon?
maybe 6 or something. Like, again, they're
crazy.
They're not only bringing in the 15 guys that are All-Stars, they're also going to bring in the participants for the 2 or 3 competitions, which would be very weird without fans. But I think they're just trying to make it one night, and it's a 2-week break for the All-Star break, if I'm not wrong. So they would technically have enough time to quarantine at home, get a few negative tests, and return back to their team.
Yeah, quarantining at Magic City. It's not so bad, is it? Oh, man, I don't know. It's going to be weird. Because imagine starting a 3-point contest at 6, dunk contest by 7, 7:30, game starts at 9, and then possibly goes to like 11, 11:30. That's what we're planning, and then on top of that, like, you're going to want these guys to come in and then, like, essentially quarantine themselves in their hotels, right? Or at least that's what they're going to say. Is that like, LeBron, come to Atlanta. Don't go outside, you know, just go to the game and then leave. But, you know, come on. LeBron's whole crew is going to be there. Rich Paul's going to be there, and my man's not going to go party. It's very wishful thinking. I don't know. Seems suspect, but I don't know. I guess we're just going to assume that it's going to happen. And last week, you know, we got the first round of voting coming out already. Naturally, LeBron comes out as the leader. Jokic, Kawhi, Steph, and your boy Luka, Josh, coming out of the West. Out of the East, the snake himself, Kevin Durant, is leading the All-Star votes again. Haven't seen that in a long time. Surprisingly ahead of Giannis, Joel Embiid, Bradley Beal, and Kai Irving. So, Sean, man, a couple of Nets. Looks like they're going to be leading the way into this All-Star game for us.
Yeah, hey, the one I'm surprised with is Bradley Beal, to be honest. Like, I don't know. Like, what's the Wizards record right now? They're
not very good.
Yeah.
They don't talk about the record here.
Yeah. And I mean, like, historically, Beal hasn't really been that big of a name, so I'm surprised he's up there for guards.
Yeah. I guess it's just because he's leading the league in scoring, right? Like, per game?
Yeah.
So I guess that's probably the reason. And his name is being mentioned a lot, right, in all the trade rumors. So sort of, like, top of mind for a lot of fans, I'm guessing. But, yeah, I mean, otherwise, pretty standard, pretty much what we expected going into this, right? I can't really – maybe Harden takes over Kyrie's spot in the East, but otherwise it might just end up running chalk at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to say the one surprise is probably Anthony Davis not being a top three front court player. But again, LeBron is obviously going to be the number one vote getter. And Jokic deserves to be there. There's nothing against him. It's just we are not seeing Anthony Davis as a starter on the NBA All-Star game, considering he's a top five player in the league.
The fans finally got something right.
You don't think Davis deserves a spot?
Over Jokic?
No. Or Kawhi? No.
Nah, I wouldn't even say that. Like, Davis hasn't really played to his standards this year. Like, the Lakers are obviously great, but he has been putting up these, like, insane games so far. He's sort of been, you know, chilling for the most part. He hasn't been playing as many minutes either, so the Lakers are playing as smart with him.
Yeah.
He'll still make it as a reserve, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah. What do you guys think about Steph being picked as ahead of Dame Lillard?
It would have been Lillard has my vote, but I could see why Curry. I mean, you know, Curry is Steph Curry, right?
How about Luka and ahead of Dame Lillard?
Yeah,
Luka's had a shaky year.
Dallas has been trash, so I mean. But at the end of the day, it's like a popularity contest, so I don't really judge the starting five. Like, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's not based off of merit. Who has better shoes, the Currys or the Lillards?
I got to go Curry, man. Like, the Curry 8 is legit.
Okay.
Feels nice.
Have you played in them?
Not played in them, but I went to the gym in them. Just worked out when it was when the gyms were open.
What a time that was.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah. Feels like forever ago. Damn. All right, well, I think we're good on All-Star talk, but guys, there's a lot of Toronto Raptor rumors out here because our favorite big man, Andre Drummond, might be coming to this team. And it's being reported by Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer that, you know, the Raptors are looking to add some size. And Andre Drummond's $27 million contract, or I guess it's prorated at this point, but maybe half of that, might be coming to Toronto this year. And I don't know, man. Josh, you're an Andre Drummond lover. You love Andre Drummond and the Raptors, so you break this down for me. What would they have to give up to get him? And what would he actually do for this team, realistically?
I mean, we've talked about this before with Drummond. He needs to be in a situation where he's not the number one or even number two guy. And he needs to play, you know, the Dwight Howard role from last year, say, you know, but in a bigger context, you know, like where he's playing 30 minutes a game, just being a guy that rolls to the rim, catches lobs, finishes the basket. He's not posting up all the time. Like his numbers in terms of like his 2-point shooting are really bad this year because he posts up way too often and he's just not skilled enough to make those types of moves. So even though he's putting up massive numbers, he plays a lot of minutes and he rebounds the ball, you know, sort of like Rodman did back in the day. he needs to be put in a secondary role where he just focuses all of his efforts on the defensive end and makes the easy plays on offense. And that's a situation where Toronto could put him in. I've never been a real like big fan of Drummond. He has a ton of talent, obviously. But after clicking the link that you sent me, the very first comment in it was a video that led to, I think it was when JB got traded and Masai was talking to him. And they were talking about a game where JV played against Drummond. And back in the day, like, JV always dominated Drummond. So as JV's like leaving, Masai was like, "You're still better than Drummond." And JV's like, "Yeah." It was just so funny to watch. Just reminded me going back to those days where like JV was putting up like 20-20s against him. But yeah, in a situation like this, like, I'm not even sure what they could trade, to be honest. Like, it would have to be, I mean, Lowry, I guess. You can't even do that. Like, obviously, you're going to trade for Drummond. You can't trade for Lowry. So it has to be Powell and, I guess, whatever contracts add up to whatever Drummond's making.
Yeah. I think Powell's probably making around 12, right? 12. Yeah. Drummond's at 27 this year. So, that's a big part of the contract to eat up.
Yeah, they don't really have the guys to do it. And I don't think Detroit is a team where you could trade into their space. They
Cleveland,
might be.
Cleveland.
Or sorry, Cleveland. I keep forgetting. Come on, man. I keep forgetting.
Come on, now.
But yeah, like, I just don't see that happening. Like, maybe in the offseason when, you know, Drummond's a free agent and his value is going to be at pretty much an all-time low and centers aren't making a lot of money in the free agent market. Maybe at that point, you sign him for $9 or $10 million. Because I don't think he's going to be making that much in comparison to elite star type centers. He's not that guy anymore. He never really was, to be honest.
Damn, man. Tell me how you really feel. Oh, shit. Sean, would you take Jonathan Drummond on this team?
So I'm kind of torn. On a side note, Kyle Lowry just put up his Toronto house for sale.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's on Reddit.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, so take that for what I don't even know what that means, but Drummond, yeah, I'm torn. Like if it's like a Powell, Baines, Stanley Johnson and Filler or whatever, yeah, I'd probably do it. If it's Lowry for Drummond, nah. I mean, like he's a solid center. Like you guys were saying, like if you simplify his role, defend, catch the lobs, rebound, stuff like that, then he's effective. But I just don't know how well he'll fit in our system. To be honest, like centers don't really play. I don't even know. Like you see players like Gasol, like they come here after averaging 17 and 8 with Memphis, and then they become like a shell of the former selves, right?
Well, he was washed anyway,
I guess. And then I see Baines, who's putting up good numbers in Phoenix, and then now he's like a total scrub. So I don't know if Drummond will have that same effect.
Did you I sent this to the other guys already, Sean, but did you see this like fake burner account of Aaron Baines going around?
Is it the one on Twitter?
Yeah, like John4873 or some shit like that.
I don't know if it's the one I'm thinking about, but what about
like Baines fan club?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Yeah, like tweeting out that he should be getting more touches instead of Pascal or something. Somehow someone deduced that Aaron Baines' middle name is John, and it's like the most obvious reasoning. Man, the internet's undefeated. But what does Lowry's house going up for sale mean then? Like, do you think that actually means anything? Or is it just like...
I think so. If he was coming back, I mean, because he's a free agent, right? So if he's coming back, then why would you sell your house?
Maybe he's moving up to a bigger one.
Oh, that $5.5 million house is looking pretty nice already.
I mean, he's not living there right now anyway, and they might be in Tampa for a while. So maybe he's trying to take advantage of the market right now. His house is going up for $5.3 million, I think it was, so... It's not bad. Nice chunk of change.
Yeah, I'm going to say that this probably means no long-term future and no retirement for Lowry in Toronto. And especially because they're reaching this point of the season where trades would probably be... they have to be finalized before, like, what, March 15th, I believe, this year. Maybe a bit after that. But I really think Lowry, his value is very high. The Raptors are completely in a rebuild. They're not going to be challenging for further than a playoff berth. So I think Lowry could go on the move. I don't think he would go to Cleveland because they're already guard heavy. And I think Drummond would be a body the Raptors could use, but I don't think that the Raptors should particularly go all in on him, especially because he only has half a season left under contract and they're going to obviously have to re-sign him then. So I think they might be in the market to get him on the cheap or have a third team involved and then re-sign him later. But they definitely need a new center because Aaron Baines, unfortunately, isn't cutting it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really looking into it, this would have to be at least a three-team trade because you can't really see Cleveland trading for Lowry because they already have two guards that they're invested in. So you would think a team like Philadelphia, like a contending team, would try to get in the mix and try to be the third team to take on Lowry. And then Cleveland would take back whatever they can get for Drummond. I mean, last year they traded, you know, a box of chocolates and a second round pick for him. So maybe they can get more for that for him, you know, than that this time, probably not. So if I'm Toronto, I would just wait until the offseason if there's actually general interest. Because, you know, as I said, Drummond's value is extremely low with the way that he plays and his reputation around the league. So if you can get him for the cheap, you know, really cheap contract come the offseason, then I think you go for it at that point, maybe. But I wouldn't try to trade anything of value for him right now.
Yo, show John Henson some respect, bro.
What happened to him anyway?
He's clearly out of the league. I don't know, man. I think we follow fantasy pretty tightly, and I have not seen John Henson's name anywhere this year, so...
Yeah, he was a beast with blocks a couple of years in a row. And he seemed like the type of center that could last in the NBA. Sort of like, you know, Boucher without, you know, the three-point shooting and just the overall game. But on defense, you know, they're both pogo sticks, you know? Dude,
that is that's a crazy comparison, man.
Really skinny centers that block shots, Mason.
Nah, man. John Henson's torso was like a third of his arm length alone. Come on. That dude had crazy long arms.
No, Boucher too, leading the league and blocking three-point shots right now.
Yo, Sean, are you a big fan of Chris Boucher here? Because there's some mixed opinions about this kid.
He started off like super hot, and he's kind of cooled off. But you know, he's a pretty decent piece. I don't think he's going to be. I don't think he's a starter material. I think he's good off the bench as an energy guy.
Yeah,
I think that's like his peak.
Yeah, so like as a six-man building block kind of.
Yeah,
you think as a building block though, with like Fred and Pascal.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a solid piece. How old is he, like 26, 27 or something like that?
I think he's a bit older. He might be 28.
Oh, really, eh?
Really? Yeah,
He had a long journey to the NBA.
Oh, shit. I always thought he was like 24, 25. He seems so young.
He's 28. Honestly, he's a good piece. He's kind of what Biombo was for the Raptors. And then obviously the Raptors made the right decision in not paying Biombo, but... an energy guy off the bench who can add some versatility and space the floor. And especially the way the NBA is going, you need more athletic bigs. And he's definitely another body that, considering what they're paying for him, he's good value.
Yeah. Did you guys watch him try to guard JV?
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Well, then again, you try to watch Baines try to guard JV?
Oh, yeah, that's worse. True, too.
Man, you guys are really shitting on Aaron Baines a lot today.
He's been bad.
Has he been that bad, though? Like, unplayable bad?
Pretty bad.
Especially offensively. Like, defensively, he's been okay. But offensively, when he gets those little dump-off passes where he's like, he should be in the dunker spot, he can't finish those, you know, quick layups or quick shots, quick hooks, yeah. Quick floaters. You know, you got a guy like, talk about like Rashawn Holmes, who gets the ball within 5 feet and he has a little flip shot. Baines doesn't have any type of skill around the basket, so it's really hard to watch him catch those passes, the 7-footer, and just not be able to finish a layup.
Yeah. There was a play yesterday. They were playing Memphis, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday. There was a play when Baines was just standing at the top, like wide open, just begging Pascal for the ball. Pascal was like 3 feet away from him to his right, and like he drove into a double team instead of passing Baines the ball. And I was like, man, this is what it's really come down to with this dude's career already. You are not long for the Raptors, my friend. This is not a good look. Damn, I like remember how high hopes we had for him coming into the season? Like he was gonna be that guy. He's gonna be a big man, like a big body, defensive anchor, take over for Mark, because Mark was like a ghost last year. And then just apparently fallen off a cliff.
It's... You know, I'll admit, I totally underrated Marc Gasol's impact, because I thought when we brought in Baynes, he'd be pretty much what we got from Gasol, except he'd be a more willing three-point shooter, because Gasol, you know, he'd never shoot, right?
Yeah.
But you can see night and day the defense, and like that leadership and like the passing is just completely gone with Baynes.
Yeah. Well, that's why they brought in Alex Len, or not.
Well, he's doing pretty well in Washington.
Is he really? He's having a little resurgence.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well.
He played 7 minutes though yesterday, I think.
Well, you know, it's better than 0 minutes in Toronto, so.
That's true.
Sean, who do you have coming out of the East this year?
If there's no COVID or anything like
that. Yeah, just assuming everything goes well and whatever.
I gotta go with the Nets, man. Like, they're stacked.
Can't get through that firepower, eh?
Nah, it's too much.
Do you think the lack of having a big man is going to really affect it? Or can Norvell Pell and who else? They signed another big man today or yesterday, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Vonleh.
Yeah.
Oh, Noah Vonleh. Yeah, he's going to be the future Embiid stopper.
Because they got Jordan for the bigs, right?
Yeah,
he's a big body. So, yeah. I mean,
he's good for like 15 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And then hopefully Noah Vonleh can cover the other, like, 25, 30 minutes. we're going to see a lot of Joel Embiid versus Kevin Durant in the playoffs if this ever comes to it.
Now, Vonleh is one guy where, you know, he's obviously a bust at this point. I think he was drafted top five in his draft. But you hear a lot of stories about him the last couple of years, and they're all the same. It's all that he couldn't remember any of the plays, and he basically has no idea how to play basketball. So I don't know if that's a great look on a team that's trying to get better defensively. Like, everyone that's talked about him in the past, like all the experts, all the people that have been around him, just said he can't remember the plays and he has no idea where to stand. And like, you can even see in the videos that they were posting where, you know, certain players on the court for the teams that he'd been playing for were directing him as to where to stand. Like, if they're running like a high post offense, he'd be standing in the dunker spot for some reason.
Yo, that's great.
So I don't really believe in that fit. I think we're gonna see the JaVale McGee trade to the Nets inevitably in a couple of days probably.
Still on that, eh?
Oh, that's happening. That's definitely happening.
Man, JaVale. If JaVale can go there and get his third ring, not bad.
Has LeBron gone 3 straight years with a championship on different teams?
No, that might actually be Danny Green this year, man.
Well,
that
might could be.
As much as we all shit on Danny Green, that might actually be him. Three straight titles with 3 different teams. That'd be legendary. All right, well, guys, I want to move into rapid fire. Sean, these are quick ones for you, so quick hitters. So we were talking about the Super Bowl that just passed. And one of the major prop bets is the Gatorade color that gets dumped on the coach. What's your favorite Gatorade flavor?
That blue one, whatever that is.
Yeah. What's your least favorite?
Red?
Good answers, man. Good answers.
Yo, orange is a close second.
Actually, what comes after blue as the second best, though?
Isn't there like a white?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go with
that. I don't know what white is.
Arctic Frost or some shit.
Yeah, that, whatever. Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah. Okay, good. Another question. Do you wear shoes in the house?
Nah, man. I'm Asian, yo. What?
Do you wear slippers? Or like flip flops?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Do you wear shoes to like break them in the house at all?
No, not really. No.
Never.
Like, I'll try them on, but like I don't walk around in them.
Not gonna. Really.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Well, with Lunar New Year coming up this weekend, what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, I'm married, so no more red pocket for me. I guess like the food. I'll probably get some deliveries for my mom.
What's a quintessential dish for you?
Jeez, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Is there like typical stuff we're supposed to get?
I don't know, man. I'm Vietnamese, so our food is already different.
Yeah, so. I got to pass on that one. I don't know.
Damn. All right, what's your favorite Toronto food joint?
Pie.
Oh, nice. Favorite Raptor of all time?
Vince Carter.
The greatest Raptor of all time?
Kyle Lowry. Oh.
Now, what kind of statue would you have of Kyle Lowry outside the ACC? I'm still calling it the ACC instead of Scotiabank Arena.
Him when he's like holding up the trophy and looking up at it.
That's nice.
So not him flopping?
Close second would be like his ass or something like that. You know?
I was picturing a fat ass box out.
Yeah.
Like the one on Aaron Gordon that hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, what's your... I'm not going to give you the GOAT discussion, but what's your Mount Rushmore
for players? Of all time. Jordan, LeBron, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Chamberlain, and Magic Johnson, maybe?
Nice. Don't often hear Kareem being talked about in these discussions, eh?
Really, eh?
Kareem is always like, I don't know, like... He's not, other than the Skyhook, I mean, no one really talks about Kareem that much, even though he's like the all-time points leader. It's always like, it's obviously Jordan and LeBron every time, and then like Kobe somehow works his way into these conversations, justifiably or unjustifiably, you know?
He doesn't have the flash.
Kareem?
Yeah.
You, Skyhook's not pretty enough for you?
Wasn't pretty enough for Shaq. Shaq always talks about that, right? He's like, I never took anything that Kareem said seriously because he didn't want to incorporate the Skyhook into his game. So Kareem just gave up on him.
Damn. Fair enough. All right. Well, we already went through Kobe's or LeBron's. Steph's or LeBron's?
Shoes?
Yeah.
LeBron's.
Okay. LeBron's or PG's?
LeBron's.
Damn.
Yeah, not a PG fan.
At all? Like, not at the shoe?
Never got into it.
Damn. What about PG the player?
Even worse.
Peter's subtly angry because he rocks PGs.
Yeah, I love the PG shoes, and I actually love PG the player. This really hurts.
How'd you feel after that off the backboard?
I'm a Nuggets fan, so I felt great. Yeah, man. Every time the PG was playing the Nuggets, I loved it. But every time PG missed a shot in the playoffs, aside from that, it really hurt. Like, I just can't get it going in the playoffs. I don't know what it is, but it's in his head too much, man. It's a damn shame. New Balance or, like, hold on. No, sorry. That's not fair. New Balance, like basketball sneakers, so like the Kawhi, the Omnis, or Antas. Let's go with the Clays.
Never even tried Anta, so I'll go New Balance by default.
Fair. Do you have a pair of the Omnis?
I did.
Yeah. Got rid of them?
Yeah, I got rid of them.
Do you flip them often, or how often do you go through your cycle of shoes?
Like, if it's stuff that, like, I review and, like, I try to be selective, so it's you know, decently often, but the personal pairs I just usually keep.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, well, I think that's it. Guys, you got anything else for Sean?
Yeah, I got a question for him. What's your favorite model of Air Maxes?
Mm. Air Max 1. Got to go with the OG.
The classics.
How about you?
I would probably say the Air Max 90s.
That's my second. Well. Yeah.
You ever try hooping in them, Raj?
No. I think my game's a bit more expansive than Cephalosha's.
We can try it this summer. All right, well, Sean, man, thank you very much for hopping on the pod. You guys can find him at SGO8 on Instagram, and that's your YouTube channel as well, right?
YouTube is just my name.
Just Sean Go.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'll include the links, obviously, below. But, yeah, man, thanks for joining us. This is awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's fun.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks to everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on iTunes. Run all the major podcast platforms, you know, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Hoops Corner Pod. Until next time, peace.